What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Smoking Tire Podcast. This episode is brought to you by Auto Tempest. Guys, Auto Tempest is where smart people look for a used car. Why do I say smart people? Because smart people are very good at time management, and Auto Tempest is the place that really will save you the most time. Oh, everyone thinks about their purchase price of the car, right? That's all anyone thinks about. How do I get the best purchase price on this car? You know what people don't think about? What is my time worth, and how do I maximize my time for life enjoyment, not headaches, right? AutoTempest.com takes all the major used car sites on the internet and brings them together into one place. It's talking about Cars.com, CarSoup, Cars Direct, eBay Motors, Facebook Marketplace. Compare that with Craigslist nationally, and it's all in one place. You don't have to retype in your search terms a million times. You don't have to go through the same pull-down menus over and over. It's all about AutoTempest.com, because smart shoppers get it done in one place. Right? Right. How about Blue Chew, guys? Listen, I'm not even going to front on this one. Blue Chew is for sex, right? If you like sex, you'll like Blue Chew. That easy. BlueChew.com offers men a performance enhancement for the bedroom. You can get the first chewables at BlueChew.com with the active ingredients sildenafil or tadalafil. It's actually really hard for me to pronounce those, but it's the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. BlueChew.com affiliated physicians work with you to find the dosage and active ingredient that's best for you. Chewables can work faster than pills. We know this from the ganja industry. The chewables from Blue Chew can be taken on a full or an empty stomach. The online physician consult is totally free, so it's cheaper than those other two because you have to go to a doctor. It only takes a few minutes to connect with a BlueChew.com affiliated physician, and if you qualify, you get prescribed online quickly. There's no in-person doctor visit, there's no awkward conversations, there's no waiting in line at the pharmacy. It ships right to your door in discreet packaging. The chewables from BlueChew.com are made in the USA, and Blue Chew gives you confidence in bed every single time. You and your partner will love it. Here's the tagline: chew it and do it, folks. It rhymes. And when things rhyme, usually they're pretty good. Usually. Chew it and do it really does sound like a good quality tagline. Here is my offer. You go to BlueChew.com, you get your first order free with promo code TIRE. You only pay $5 in shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code TIRE, right? BlueChew.com, promo code TIRE. $5 for shipping, and the first order is free. How about the internet, guys? The problem with the internet is it's just not as secure as you think it is. That's why you should use a VPN, right? Streaming services, great example. Geo-restricted, right? You might not be accessing all the content that you're paying for on a streaming service because of your location. With private internet access, it makes the internet think you're somewhere else. That's what a VPN does, and that's how private internet access works. With private internet access, all of your internet traffic goes through a secure VPN tunnel. Your IP address is hidden, your data is encrypted, and then you can use private internet access to watch all this geo-restricted content on streaming services that would otherwise be unavailable to you, right? You stay completely private online, you hide your personal info from your internet service provider. Private internet access is available for all platforms, iOS and Android included. It is over 2,600 VPN servers in 47 countries. There's a no log policy in place. That means private internet access will not follow you around the internet and record what you're doing. Private internet access has a 30-day money back guarantee. And here is the deal. Go to privateinternetaccess.com/tire, right? And you can get complete digital privacy for less than $3 a month plus 3 months for free, right? $3 a month plus 3 months for free at privateinternetaccess.com/tire. That's privateinternetaccess.com/tire. Lastly, but certainly not leastly, Guys, Policy Genius. Policy Genius is reinventing their home and auto insurance industry, right? They save their home and auto customers an average of $1,127 a year by shopping top-rated insurers in one place. If you think $1,127 is an oddly specific amount, you're right, but that's just how data works. It ain't round, folks. It's dirty. In fact, crunching numbers is one of the things that Policy Genius does best. Their insurance marketplace makes it easy to compare rates from the top home and auto insurance companies to find you the best price. All you got to do is go to policygenius.com, answer a couple of quick questions about yourself and your property, and then Policy Genius does all the work. They compare your existing policy against others in the market to make sure you're getting the right coverage at the best possible price. If Policy Genius finds a better rate than what you're currently paying, they will get you switched for free. That kind of service has earned Policy Genius a 5-star rating across 1,600 reviews on Trustpilot and Google. So if you're a homeowner, head over to policygenius.com right now to get started. They've saved their home and auto customers an average of $1,127 a year. Who knows what weirdly specific amount they could save you. All right, guys, on this episode, Zach is back from Pike's Peak. Jay Ryan is in studio. I have been parking cars on the lifts all day for the open house at Westside Collector Car Storage. It's a cruise show on the Smoking Tire Podcast.
This is going to be the sweaty Smoking Tire Podcast. Hello. Hi. What's up? Jay Ryan in the house.
What's up?
We got to eat a little bit of crow. Our good boy David Patterson was here. We did a whole show with him, and due to some... as still unidentifiable technical difficulty, it sounded like we were simultaneously underwater and exploding at the same time. And we had a technical issue. It fucked everything up. We were not able to recover it. We were not able to fix it. And so we had to apologize to Dave Patterson, who I already talked to. And actually, to his credit, because he's Dave Patterson, that dude in blue, is a rock star. He asked for the RAW, which I sent him. Mm-hmm. And he
to
actually...
try to recover it?
Was able to fix everything except the crackling. Like, he fixed the fishbowl sound, but he couldn't fix the crackling.
So do people understand exactly what happened? It was like, we recorded the show.
It was unlistenable, fucking terrible.
The audio, I mean, the video was absolutely beautiful, and the audio made no sense whatsoever.
Yeah,
we sounded like chipmunks from Alvin and the Chipmunks.
It was real dumb. Our headphones were fine. Everything was fine. Yep. It was all fine. We went home, and then the file was garbage. And so...
But it was real time. We sounded like chipmunks, but it wasn't sped up.
It wasn't sped up.
It was like real time.
Something happened. We don't know, but now we have instituted countermeasures. So Zach's now has two headphones.
That's right.
So Zach's got two headphones, and one is like our headphones, board audio, and the other is the show output. So he can check in real time back and forth. If the show sounds correctly, we're also running an audio backup, which we weren't running the other day. Yep. Lesson learned. We learned that lesson in the old studio. We learned it again.
Yep.
So it's just going to... it's a teething
issue. We
built
in a bunch of redundancies.
We have two redundancies.
Nothing will ever happen again.
Yeah, we have like a room tone microphone.
Well, every one of these cameras is recording audio.
Also.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we have five backups. And then also, yeah, there's a lot of backups. Anyway.
Growing pains. I'm going to call that growing pains.
It was just a technical fuck up that just happens. Like, it just happens. Like, this, a podcast is not as simple as it, like, when you're at this level, like, it's just not.
No.
That simple. Like, every setup is custom.
Exactly. 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 Did he tell you, too, that they actually did he sent them a bunch of stuff and they did an update since?
Oh really?
Like
with
yesterday
Stitcher?
When I couldn't replicate any problems, it had been we updated it.
Really?
Yeah. So it's possible that maybe that.
It's nice
was
to
it
have
too.
Like at least like a responsive company that you're dealing with. That's helpful. But anyway, it's so that's why we're a little late with this podcast. And also Zach was at Pike's Peak. I mean, I imagine. Are you allowed to talk about Pike's Peak? What are the restrictions on this?
I can talk about stuff that was already public knowledge because like the results are public.
Yeah.
The weather was like stuff like that, you know.
Yeah,
I don't want to talk about how some of the teams fix some stuff. Like,
oh, I don't care about that. I just mean like
cool.
The experience of going to Pike's Peak and spending like the whole time there.
It's so good. It's like it's the craziest track in the world. Like Rob Holland was there, and he was like, everyone compares it to the Nürburgring. He's like, this is far more dangerous because obviously there's no walls.
Yeah.
Like the only wall is on a mountainside, and on the non-wall mountainside, there's no wall.
Yeah, and you could bounce off that wall off the cliff.
Most mountainsides will kick you to the cliff.
And the road isn't perfectly smooth. Like the lower half is really like nicely cambered and smooth and stuff like that. But on the upper section, it's bumpy. And like it's bumpy at 24 miles an hour in a minivan.
Yeah.
And it's short duration bumps. It's not like those long yumps.
Mm.
So if you're going like really ripples. Fast, it's like ripples. Yeah. And some of them are uneven.
This
so
is weather
people,
related too, right? This is
it's
pitch
permafrost.
Permafrost. Heaving,
oh, it's
heaving
permafrost.
Of the concrete.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right. So it, this is normally they run it in July and now it's August. So it's been warmer longer. So the ground like melts at different times, so that causes some of the bumps. And then they're also Yikes. Building a whole new clubhouse cafe thing at the top at the summit. So every day when we would finish at 9:30 during practice, we are driving down and 18-wheeler trucks are going up hauling asphalt and stuff. And by the way, they can't make the hairpin without using all the road, so I had to back up.
Get out of here. Point. That's like the Bolivian death road.
It was, yeah, these guys, I mean, driving a truck up and down that is very impressive.
Yeah.
It is.
That's
got to
be
sketchy.
A job that sucks balls. I mean, that's got to be a job. Like, remember we went to Stelvio Pass?
Mm-hmm.
And there's those bus drivers, like tour bus drivers, that have to drive up and down Stelvio Pass, like, all fucking day.
Yeah.
It's one of those jobs that, oh, well, that looks okay, but, like, it would be terrible.
Yeah, I think they get to work in a gorgeous setting, but I'm sure they're, like, every day for who knows how long, up and down this sketchy road. How are the brake pads on this truck? All
right.
That stuff. But man, what a cool place.
Yeah.
What a cool, gorgeous. And I kind of want to do it, but I also need 10 more years of driver training before I would do it.
You don't think you could enter and drive fast, but in a manner that you were certain you wouldn't sail off the cliff and it would still be a rewarding experience to do?
I think I could, but I think I would rather be extra cautious about it because if I got caught up with myself and got excited, like. So in practice, a lot of cars crashed in practice.
Yeah. Bunch of electric cars.
Yeah, there were only like three electric cars, but one guy crashed, and he wasn't part of the. So we were making an hour long special for Discovery Channel Motor Trend, which will be out in like end of October. One guy in a Model 3 forgot what corner he was on, just whatever, and just went off the road and cleared a ditch, and then hit a tree, and he crashed in like the lower section. Which is, quote, safer because there's trees down there, but also there's trees. Right.
Safer because there's trees to crash
something
into.
Something will stop you.
Exactly. Something to hit, which is like a weird thing. So he just forgot. And another guy launched 400 feet off, cleared a pond, and landed like in a field because he also forgot which corner he was on, but his car was much, much faster.
Someone have that on video?
I don't know. We didn't get it, and
oh
we were just
I hope
coming
someone's
down the
got
hill.
The inc- was he okay? First off,
he was okay, but like,
clearing a pond,
he was hurt for sure.
Like going over a pond—that's I mean, crazy.
Really, really, really
better
gnarly.
To clear it, I guess. Right?
I suppose. Yeah. I mean, if you're gonna, yeah. I don't know. That's like one of those things. Like back in the day, like you want to be thrown clear of the car,
right?
Or not.
That
like,
was
I don't know.
Don't
do
wear
you?
My seatbelt. Yeah.
Do you? Faster, pastor.
His name. He called himself the fastest pastor.
Like
and
as in a like, preacher?
Yes.
Pastor Don, fastest pastor.
So he had this Porsche.
Oh man.
Oh, here you go.
Oh wow.
Wow.
Oh wow, he's that BBI
he car.
It has Kelly Moss on the front.
Oh, it's Kelly Moss Road and Race. Well, there's big turbos coming out. There's a lot going on. Go back to the car. Yes, I did crash. Two endos, a roll and landed on all four tires. See, oh, the background is the track.
Right.
Whoa, that car is far away.
Really far
go,
away.
Scroll through the slideshow. Here, what do we got there? That's like
that's
a,
him
oh,
getting
yeah,
checked
that's
out.
Him getting pulled out. Yeah,
no, he's all right.
Getting
and
checked out.
I guess this that's is just an interior
car.
Shot of him driving.
Yeah,
but,
wow.
You know,
good gnarls.
That's a ride.
Because this was his car, you know, before,
what
obviously.
What a great-looking race car.
Yeah.
It looks a lot like BBI's car. I mean, I'm sure they're
Dude, the
similar
air scoops,
ethos.
Like the roof scoop on
lots
this thing.
Lots of canards
in
the front. Giant cooling. Yeah, the roof scoop is killer.
This thing, I think it was really fast. I didn't get to see it practice, but... You know, he just, whatever happened on the corner he was on, you know, big consequence.
Fastest pastor, huh?
So.
Did you see Randy Pope's off?
I saw the photos afterwards.
Oh, okay.
And we are filming him a bit for the show.
Okay.
He's
been on his YouTube
just,
channel kind of disclosing what the hell happened and everything. It sounded like it was those humps, those heaves in the road.
That was a bump that I guess is there, but it was at one part of the road that has a rock wall. So he was... lucky or whatever, but he takes responsibility for it.
Yeah,
and they
yeah.
the company that modified his car. They're based in Torrance. It's called Unplugged.
Yeah.
And they're really nice
Unplugged
people.
Unplugged does, I met them at Buttonwillow. They were doing suspension for Model 3s.
Yep.
Nice guys. And I saw one of their customers up at Newcomb's, the dude with the white car.
Oh, yeah.
That's Unplugged. He's got all suspension shit on there.
Oh, I didn't
and
realize
that car,
that.
Mobs.
No,
that,
I don't know anybody. That's
that
amazing.
Guy, I don't know the guy's name, but that white car, isn't that it? No, it's a Model S. It's a Model 3.
Oh, do you mean Damon? My buddy Damon.
It's a white.
Damon McCarthy. Yes.
With the
black
JDM
wheels.
Looking
yes,
wheels. Yeah.
Yes.
A Damon Model 3 looks really Damon. Good. It's not TEs. What are they?
No, SSRs they look like Volks, but they're not. I don't know what they are.
They look like TE37s, kind of.
Okay.
But a little different. But that style wheel looks very nice on a Model 3.
Yeah, and he dialed in the suspension really well. He tried a couple different things.
Apparently,
that
guy's
that.
Real quick in that car.
He is. Okay. Yeah. He's a fast driver.
Those, yeah.
He's a good driver.
Those cars
yeah.
are going to be.
He's got that 74, the red hot rod, the red and white with the giant tail on it. 74.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's an artist.
We got a big whale tail. Marco sent his 75. Or 75? 75 or
Marco
76.
TLG?
Yeah, the Turbo Carreras here.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think
we just heard Eric stacking it for the show.
Love that
We got
car.
mad cars coming in because we got our WCCS open house. That's why I'm so sweaty right now. It's not because of the technical difficulties with the show. It's because
we're think you're sweaty
running up and down. No, I am. It's just really, I wisely wore a black shirt today. I was like, I'm going to have to podcast. I'm going to be sweaty.
You've had a couple days.
It's smart.
I'm figuring out the
black.
System.
Yeah.
While you were gone, Zach, I wasn't good. I'm much better now. I was not.
What did you do?
I had a fucking week last week. Well, I told you about the bad day, the yeah. no good, very bad day, which was Friday. It was one of the worst days of my professional career.
Sounds like a kid's book yeah. that's all about overcoming something. The
that
no
is.
Good, very bad day.
Matt yeah, Farrell, I'm getting catchphrases. Look, I got the Talking Heads catchphrase going. Did you see these, Zach? That Hannah and I made. These are, what camera are we at here? Where are we going?
Oh, the telly lights aren't on.
These things, wait, where am I going? Here.
There yeah. you go.
I don't know what camera to work at
I
yet.
Know.
But if you like Talking Heads, these are the best jokes ever. Because every once in a while you'll hear myself go, I say, and you may ask yourself, how do I work this? Very often. And so we wanted to do something so I wouldn't have to physically guide every tour. So we made 25 of these, and I put them all over the shop. And it just says, this one says, and you may ask yourself, where did this stunning table come from? And then it has some facts about our beautiful podcast table. So when people take the tour and come in the studio, they'll see that. But they're all over the place. I forget, what is that? Oh, that one on the door is about our sound deadening.
That's right.
And then I have one here. Oh, that's sound deadening, and then there's one in there about the windows.
I think so.
Nice.
Windows.
Yeah, they're funny.
I was happy. But if you haven't seen the... Can you pull up a picture, Zach, of David Byrne in the Stop Making Sense live performance?
The moment you see this photo, that song is in your head.
Right.
Immediately. So that you find yourself singing along what the Cyan is
yeah.
saying.
And then there, see, look, against the blue. There's him in the blue
perfect.
Shirt. Like, it, and people on Instagram, when I posted these, were like, what's up with your tailor, bro? Like, I don't, they thought it was legit me, but Hannah just put my head on David Byrne right there.
So great if you
yeah,
get it.
Yeah, the big suit from Stop Making Sense is what's up. And oh, by the way, I think Hannah keeps telling me that I should have Once in a Lifetime playing on repeat. Throughout the building, so that people do understand the bit, but also that once they hear it three or four times, they'll be like, "Honey, it's time to
it's
go."
Time to go. Right, yeah,
that's a good
turn
idea.
The room, turn the room over. That's a
that's
great
a
idea.
Very good idea for getting rid of people.
That one was
perfect.
It wasn't stuck well enough, and it falled. But wait, so Zach, I had to tell you. Jay was there. You were there on Sunday.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about it?
You talking about Malibu Kitchen?
Yes.
No, you do it.
It was hilarious, bro. There's cars and coffee drama. Okay.
Of course, this is
so good. This is hilarious. So we get to Bill's, and me and Hannah wanted
what
to come.
What time did you get there?
7:30.
Okay.
I get there early.
Yeah.
And there's no start. The best thing about the cars and coffee, or whatever you want to call it, that's happening at Bill's right now is there is no organizer. It's just it's what?
Touch the screen, Zach.
Zach, see, touch the screen.
There you go.
Is something frozen?
No. Right. He was getting his lighting set up.
Oh,
it was a little hot on your head.
Oh,
it's good
well,
now.
It's I'm shiny because I'm sweaty. Sorry, we powder.
Not
powder.
Your fault.
So anyway, this car gathering that has happened has no organizer.
Yes.
And no organizing body, which is brilliant during a pandemic.
Non-event.
Nobody to blame.
Yep.
And nobody wants to be the guy or girl organizing events during a pandemic.
Exactly.
An event that just takes place with no central organization is pretty goddamn good. As far as I know, no one has gotten coronavirus at this event.
As far as I know.
As far as I know. It's outside. People are really good about masks, frankly. I mean,
surprisingly good,
most
actually.
Most people
I will say.
Are pretty good about masks. Yeah. And the ones that aren't, we're outside. It's not like we're inside. Anyway, so it's been going on. It's been kind of growing and growing. A couple weeks ago, it was like real out of hand.
Ooh.
And there's, but it ebbs and flows, right? Depending on the weather and the whatever.
Yeah, so but it used to be every other. It was like,
yeah,
there's a big one, and then there's a small one. And then it kind of got to, there was a few where it just kept ramping up.
So something you need to know about this parking lot. Apparently, the part of the parking lot in front of Bill's is owned by one party. The part of the parking lot over on the side by Marmalade Cafe and Marine Layer and all them is owned by somebody else.
Oh, my God.
Okay. And so you get into, I pulled in front of Bill's.
Where's the demilitarized zone?
Right.
In the middle?
they showed us very clearly where
right,
it was,
yeah,
actually.
So I pulled into Bill's. You know that guy Fireball?
Fireball Tim.
Fireball Tim Lawrence. Who
Wait,
his
yeah.
nickname used to be Fireball, but then he changed it, his legal name to Fireball.
Like car stuff?
Yeah, does car stuff. So he is the organizer of another Cars and Coffee in Malibu,
yes,
at Bluff Creek Park, okay? His shit got shut down when the parks got closed. No more Cars and Coffee. But then this thing just started brewing on its own at Bill's. Well, how does this come into play? Because when there was an attempt to shut down Bill's Cars and Coffee this past Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it was an attempt on multiple fronts. Front number one, the owner of parking lot B put up some signs that were like, no car gatherings allowed. You can only park if you're patronizing businesses. Okay, there's no law that says you can't drive your Lamborghini to get coffee. You know what I mean?
Right.
So you can't, if people just decide to go to a parking lot and it's not organized, like, you can't shut that down. You can't, I mean, you know what I mean?
Right.
Unless you do a bunch of hood pops or whatever.
There's actually nothing to shut down.
There's nothing to shut down. There's not an organized event. People have just decided to go get coffee there. Anyway.
Right.
So there's that. Flank A is these signs that are kind of pathetic. Flank B.
Well, and the rope, right?
Oh, and a little rope. So you couldn't drive from Bill's lot into the other lot. You had to go back out and around.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cutting off from A to B. No
Flank
longer can
B,
get through.
At the entrance to Bill's lot, there's Fireball leaning into every car and going, shut down, bro. It's closed.
Yep.
And I go, excuse me? He goes, events shut down. I go, what event, Fireball? I'm here to get coffee with my wife,
yep,
and I'm going to go park and do that. And I just drove away.
I said, I'm here for breakfast.
I'm here for breakfast. Get out of here. And then I go park somewhere else because in front of Bill's was blocked up. So I go park somewhere else. I walk back. I get my coffee. I'm hanging out on the porch. And there's Fireball saying to everybody who's coming in, it's shut down. You got to go. It's shut down. He's not a cop. He doesn't own the parking lot.
It's not even the organizer.
He's not organizing anything.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, here is this guy. Meanwhile, he runs a competing event.
Can I tell you something? Leading up to this, have you brought your Porsche to that event lately?
No, I don't know.
Here's why I'm asking, because mine, for the last 5-6 weeks, every single week has a Fireball Tim car show postcard in it every day when I go to leave.
No, I haven't done
way.
That.
Yes, sir.
No, look, and I've met this dude in the past. I've interacted with him in some ways. I've never had any issues with him before.
Same here.
But he kind of like fancies himself like the mayor of Malibu. He lives over by Duke's.
Okay.
And he's kind of like, you know, he organizes this Malibu Cars and Coffee. I just don't know what he was doing. And I went and I said, Bill, you know that Fireball dude? He's out there telling people to get the fuck out of here. And Bill like lost his mind.
Of course.
You know, and so that's going on. Then some cops show up, two sheriffs and explorers, and start saying something on their loudhailers.
They started to sort of sweep the lot.
Yeah,
sort
and they
sweep.
And
they
kind of
trying
stopped.
To collect, but they definitely didn't care that much, it seemed. They seem to also be like, well, it's not us.
Right. And so Bruce Meyer, to drop a fucking name for you on there, he went and talked to them. Because you always want Bruce to talk to the cops. Always. If Bruce is around, it's Bruce, talk to the cops. Because he's
he knows them all anyway.
He is the cops. Right. He fucking owns the cops. So he went and talked to them, and apparently they didn't even really care. Some group of Lambos was just mobbing on Las Virgenes, and the cops thought they came here, and they were looking for them. And
is
then,
that right?
Yeah. And
oh,
then one, it was
that.
Unrelated.
I did
and
not
then
know
once
that.
They were there, they kind of tried to break up this crowd. But then
got
they just
it.
Left. After
right.
that, they left. And then it just continued on.
And then it became packed.
And oh, by the way, there was Fireball taking pictures of fucking cars and posting them on wherever the fuck.
That's funny. I know
I wonder
a bunch
if
of people
he
got turned
that
away.
Someone from this event shut down his thing. Or he's just like, well, if I can't do it, nobody can.
I mean, maybe. I don't know his motivations. Yeah. I don't know his motivations. And I know, maybe he's super homies with the guy who owns the other parking lot. Maybe. You know, and he took it upon himself to be an enforcer. And I'm not trying to talk shit about him. I'm literally observing the thing he was doing, which you also observed.
Yeah, yeah.
And he did to me.
It.
And I was like, you don't run this. You don't run anything about this. I'm going to park and I'm going to get breakfast.
Right.
Like, all right.
Yeah, the only thing they're going to be able to do is like, if the other apartment, or not apartment, parking lot side says, oh, no patrons of Starbucks, Bill's. Like, you know how they do that sometimes? It's like,
good
no parking
luck.
For steak restaurant
yeah,
because we are donut restaurant.
Yeah.
But that's what they'd have to do.
Yeah. I mean, good luck enforcing that. A shopping center parking lot, good, you're going to watch every person and where they patronize? Good luck.
Yeah.
I mean, but it was, dude, me, we were sitting on the porch. We were laughing our asses off at this. I mean, it was ridiculous. The whole thing was insane. The cops shooed a guy in a Veyron away. It was really funny, actually.
Did he leave?
Yeah, he did.
Ah, that's funny.
Bro, he probably was deep in Montana tagland. He's like, I want no part of this.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah. The cops being around is really funny as long as your car has California plates on it.
Right. You have all your LLC paperwork and
right.
your dashboard. It's a pain in the butt.
So that was a thing. I drove Zuckerman's Audi S1 Sport Quattro down here.
How is that,
dude? I knew it when it was Tim's car.
It's
obviously.
Pretty amazing. I didn't put a picture of it. Can you get if you add the word? I don't know if Zuckerman would be on there. Although his Instagram. Is it the real Zuckerman?
The real Zuckerman
is his Instagram, and I'm pretty sure there's a picture of it on there. This is a car, so homologation special, short wheelbase, Audi
car.
Sport Quattro.
But it's a group car too, right?
It's definitely the real Zuckerman. Yeah, there it is. It's a what?
It's something. There's something.
There it is.
There you go.
It's a homologation car. It's the road car. It's not a race car. 34,000 kilometers, maintained by Canepa. And fresh tires, and
dude,
it
looks like a Lancia Integrale coupe.
Yes,
the fenders on it, the proportions of it.
Yeah, a lot
and
of things
the wheelbase
are the same.
They shorten the wheelbase.
The wheelbase.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what helps. Like
yeah.
the proportions of this are right.
So I didn't really like really have good. A go. I just picked it up at Zucks and drove it here. But it's really interesting.
Does
you
it,
can tell the short wheelbase just even moving the slightest.
Really?
Off center. Oh yeah.
When I was here last time, I told you I grew up driving those fucking cars.
Yeah. Well, they were worthless for
yeah,
a long time.
But
yeah.
that was basically, I mean, a 4000 that was, you know, that was the
right.
same kind of body style. So
no,
I can't even imagine what that thing is. I've loved the Quattro.
The
forever,
Sport
but.
Quattro is the jam, and it actually has a great ride. The engine is it's very refined. I mean, it's quiet. You know, it's not like it doesn't really feel like a race car at all. It feels sort of like an old Audi, but you know. Big turbo lag, so it's like nice and smooth, but get it in third and mat it, and zing, you know,
yeah,
and really when you cross like 4,500 is when it really gets going.
There's a guy at Pikes Peak that ran, I think, the longer wheelbase one of these, and it sounded really cool.
Well, the drivers,
Is it a five-cylinder?
It's a five-cylinder, it's a turbo
yeah.
five. Hans Stuck, I believe, was it Hans Stuck? It was Hans
yeah.
Stuck who rallied one of these, right? Hans Stuck didn't like the short wheelbase. When they went from the long to the
too
short,
dirty.
It was too twitchy, and he kept on racing the long wheelbase for another year
wow.
until they stopped him. But yeah, that's that. Well, that one's in Dubai, but that's exactly the car that we've got here right now. which is pretty kick-ass. We have some really good cars here for the open house.
Can you say what any of the other ones are? There are some cool ones that have arrived today.
Yeah, well, Bruce Meyer sent his Fox Body police car, which is was very kind of
California
him.
Highway Patrol.
It's a fully liveried, fully functional California Highway Patrol Fox Body that he drives on the street because only Bruce can do that.
Drives in the street and lights it up.
Yeah, he lights it up. It's hilarious. It's so funny. So we got that, and then we also have Spike's German police cars. So we're going to stack those. We got the S1. We've got a Ford GT with 170 miles downstairs. We've got a variety of Skittles-colored supercars. There's a GT2 RS. There's a couple McLarens. There's a couple Lamborghinis. There's two Ferraris. We've got oddballs. Oddball Ferraris in the house. Barchetta, 550 Barchetta. And we've got that's the Speedster with the 550 with no roof.
Okay.
And then we've got a 612 Scaglietti in a really, really bizarre paint to sample, like a taupe.
Does that fit on the lift? It always looks so long.
You know, we're going to try. The wheelbase is close.
Yeah.
Yeah. The wheelbase is close.
Like
the overall length,
long.
I think, is fine. It's really long. Yeah. And I've driven one. I don't love how they drive. But
that's a V12, right?
It's a V12. The sticks are better than the F1s. The one we have here is an F1. We've got a 911R downstairs, which is
yesterday.
Very nice.
That's
we've
pretty.
Got, what else can I see? A variety of Porsche GT cars, old and new. We've got a couple old school classics that are very interesting. A really cool lowrider. We've got an old Buick with like 0 miles on it. It's like looks like it came out of the showroom.
The paint jobs on both of those cars are stellar
for different reasons. The lowrider is incredible.
For different reasons. Yeah,
yeah
the custom
up,
job
oh,
on the lowrider is amazing.
Stratas Auctions, STRATAS.auction is their website, I believe. Stratas.auction. No, not stratasauctions.com. It's Stratas. STRATAS.auction, I believe, is just their website. And it's like a new auction site. The T-Bird
there,
the Square Bird. They're storing it with us until it goes up for auction. It was built by Starlight Rods and Customs, which is right here in LA. Super well known hot rod shop, lowrider shop. I'm not that into Square Birds, but this thing is hot.
Yeah.
It's slammed on bags. It's got a fabulous interior. The paint is off the chain.
It's ridiculous.
It fires on like the first crank.
It's amazing.
It starts up so fast. And so this thing, it's got a really cool exhaust sound.
And in here, the green looks a lot darker. Like right here, it looks kind of pea green, but when it's inside, it almost has like a turquoise kind of sparkle to it.
Mm hmm. I'm not a big fan of the Square Birds, but it's absolutely beautiful.
Good.
It's got the right stance. It's on, I don't know who made the airbags setup, but it's an AccuAir E-Level controller, which is very easy to use. I've gone up and down with it
Look
a couple
at that
of times.
The steering wheel. Sick.
Give me a wide of the interior, Zach, because the interior is so great. If you showed me this, the gauge cluster, and you told me that was a Rolls Royce of the era, I'd be like, maybe. It's really cool. It's got a great sparkle. So these guys are starting this like new kind of auction site. And go back to their main page, Zach, because they've got a couple heavy hitters on there. They've got a Renault R5, Dino, a fiberglass body, a Ferrari GTB. We've got a 924 Porsche, a GTR, Jag XJ220, an IMSA Turbo 300ZX. Hell yeah. Ooh, the 1990 Nissan PT90 Le Mans car. They got some cool stuff on there. So it's not really like a bring-a-trailer. It's more like an RM kind of thing.
I
but
was going to say,
one
it's
at
curated.
A time. Yeah, it's heavily curated. And they inventory these cars. All these cars are like, they own them, they're in their inventory.
So they're there.
It's
oh.
not consigned.
Oh, because one of the 924 looked like, I thought that was the Motoring Club.
It's at Motoring Club. They have two spots at the Motoring Club, and they're going to get some spots. They started with one spot here, but they're going to go up to, I think, four spots here when they have some
very
more inventory.
Cool.
Really good photos, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Their photographer is very good.
Yeah.
Jeez, look at that.
I mean, this Nissan GTP ZX Turbo Le Mans car. Love it.
Dude, the intakes are so cool.
Show the interior. Let's see the interior of that thing.
What year is that?
I think it was 1990.
Oh, you're kidding.
Right? Didn't
that
say 1990 on it, Zach?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow, that interior might as well be 1970.
I thought you were going to say 79, 82, something like that.
I think. Close that out. That's 1990, right, Zach? 1990.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, the interior looks super cool. Not too different from like a 917.
Yeah.
That was really that was the end of that. We were wrapping up that around the 1990.
Yeah, computer, the transitional period. Yeah.
Once computers showed up, all the interiors of like the prototypes got a lot more kind of refined and complicated.
Right. Well, everything went digital, right? And then the everything was on the wheel.
Yeah, now everything's on the wheel. Now it's like screens and the reviews.
That was a mechanical,
that's
scary
stick shift. That car. Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, that's awesome. Pedal car. Super cool.
I love.
God, look at all that.
Track day special, bro. What do you think it costs to run something like that?
You think just the car or the team to go with it?
If you, rich guy, wanted to buy that and go to track days with it.
Again, I think you need a team, don't you?
You need a few folks
to bring it and start it. Look at the amount of gold around the air intakes.
The heat shield. I think you need everything.
You need a pit box, you think, with that?
Don't you think?
I don't know.
No?
I don't know if you need a full box. I think you could probably run it fairly bare bones.
Okay.
Someone has shown up for a tour, and Eric, our general manager, is giving a tour to someone outside.
Tim. No, I'm just kidding. I thought it was him.
For a second with a mask on, bro.
With the mask on,
it looked like him. Bro, I'm obviously a pro masker. You know what I'm saying? I'm not an anti-masker, but like masks, it's when you smoke weed, masks really fuck shit up, dude.
I always see you with a mask on. You never don't have a mask on when we're out.
No, I know, but I don't recognize my fucking friends.
Oh, yeah.
I already have to, like...
Oh, you mean the other way.
The other way. Oh, no. Mentally. No. Not physically. No. I can breathe just fine. Thank you. That's funny. Although I do develop a face sauna. It's not about not breathing. It's about the humidity level in the mask gets awful high.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never mouthwashed so many times in my life.
Yeah.
You're very aware of that's what it's
very
like.
Conscious of your breath.
Yeah. Big time.
Especially if you got like a KN going on and you can really have an airspace in there.
Dude, when I was on the Vegas Torino off-road shoot, I ate jerky and then put the mask on and ran over a shoot. And I was like, oh no. That's strong. That's why the whole car smells when you open a bag of that.
The other day, me and Hannah had Chinese food and then I put the mask back on. And by the time I got to the car, thing. I was like, oh God, this has all gone very wrong.
Yeah, one burp, anything.
Yeah, this is terrible.
it's just the worst.
After a romantic evening, everyone brushes their teeth.
Yeah. Oh my God. What did you drive to Colorado?
No, that's last night. Grand Caravan.
Oh.
Yeah.
They still got Grand Caravans?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I should have asked for Pacifica because I was next to it, but I got a Grand Caravan, which
the Pacifica is better.
In every way. Pacifico's a very impressive van. Yeah. It's really comfortable.
How
and
different
smooth.
Is the Dodge versus Chrysler in the caravan town
and country to caravan is not that big of a difference. Except the town and country has better suspension, I think.
Yeah, and the caravan feels like it's the GT RS model. It feels like lighter weight.
Okay. Yeah, no, it yeah, the caravan was a super leggera.
Yes.
Yes.
Nice. But they've been making the caravan since 2011, I believe, is when they designed it, and they still were selling them new. Like a year ago.
Wow.
And you can tell. But the Pacifica feels like a very modern car. It's got like blue lighting and USB-C and USB-A individual.
So it's become the younger one.
Yeah.
Yes. It used to be. It used to be kind of the older one, didn't it?
Well, it was the trim model of the Caravan. Like the Town and Country
I'm
and the Caravan
before
were the same.
It was actually a shared platform.
Now the Pacifica is different. The Pacifica's got...
Oh, you're thinking of the SUV they
made
for a
while.
Back in
the old days, I think I was
Pacifica SUV. No, the van, man. The van.
Yeah.
It's all about the van. The Pacific SUV was not bad for what it was at the time.
It was a weird looking thing, though, wasn't it?
It was,
the
but it was.
Proportions were odd.
It was, but it got. It was a Daimler Chrysler deal, and it felt enough Mercedes in there that it was kind of okay.
That was actually a good era for those cars too. We got the 300M at that same time.
Yeah,
too.
The 300M.
Remember that?
Yeah, the 300M.
That was
badass. Yeah, it did. It was good.
It was weirdly badass.
It was, especially when they put the body kit on it.
It was something.
It was kind of cool. Cab forward. It was all about the cab forward.
What time? Is it past 5 o'clock?
It's 5 for 13.
As of 13 minutes ago, the California Highway Patrol has retired the Crown Victoria. As of 5 p.m.
Today?
5 p.m.
today?
Is the retirement
all
of the
Crown Vics?
Victoria. No more Crown Vics in the Highway Patrol.
Wait, you mean they took them all out of service or they won't buy anymore?
As of what the thing on Instagram said, that's...
So I will never see another CHP... It
sounds like they're being taken
Crown,
out of service.
Here we go. As of 5 p.m. Tuesday,
there we go.
The California Highway Patrol has retired. Well, how appropriate that we've got a Fox body downstairs, then, isn't it? I mean, that's really
These are for 36 years.
Oh, well, yeah, 84. 84 is when that started.
That's amazing. And I've talked to police officers on shoots, and I'm like, how do you like the Explorer versus the Crown Vic? Like, man, I miss the Crown Vic. Because most of them just get the naturally aspirated V6 in Explorer, and it's terrible. Sort of shit.
Yeah.
They miss the torque. Yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Plus, you could put those cars anywhere. That was the one. That is one of the most predictable cars to drive.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
they were.
They
actually,
really, I mean, yeah. It's not like, you know, it's a different kind of fun. Certainly it's, not fast by any great, means, man. But if you ever get one of those on the courses where they do, you know, all the, yeah, the crash courses and everything, that's fucking fun.
And I drove one that had like full suspension and shit in it, and it was not bad.
Yeah.
It was pretty fun. Like, they have potential to be.
Supposedly, when you strip all the weight out of them, they basically just become a stock car.
Yeah. Our last Crown Victoria leaves the gate one last time.
There you go.
Isn't that wild? Almost like, I guess it's almost like embarrassing at this point to get pulled over by. It's like, oh, gee. Like, oh, come on. It's like getting pulled over by a guy on a bicycle. Like, oh, come on.
But now we know, after I got mine, we knew why cops are so mad when they pull you over for speeding, because driving one of those at speed is fucking terrifying.
Oh.
Because it's like driving a car from the 60s at 120 miles an hour, which no one should
solid
ever do.
Solid rear end, probably.
Oh, it's solid rear end, yeah. But it's like bushings are soft, suspension, it moves around, and then all of a sudden they get to 90, and it just starts to move, even though they're going straight. I went 100 in mine once, and I was like, that doesn't feel okay. You know? And I've done plenty of stupid shit, but that did not feel okay.
Gosh.
Yeah. 4,000 pounds with the brakes of a bicycle. It's ridiculous.
The brakes are really the issue. The
brakes are bad. The steering's like, it has that classic muscle car slop, mm-hmm, that everybody loves.
Speaking of that classic muscle car slop, though, are you guys as nerdy as I am, like, when it comes to the new cop cars? There are, like, some of those Chargers are just badass.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think they are. Like, I want one.
Well, in Colorado, they get the ones with all-wheel drive and the V8.
That's pretty
which
good.
Seems like magic.
That seems pretty good.
And they just do all that kit to them, and they just look. It's something about
the
I
ones
grew up
here
with Dukes of Hazzard.
Look
it's like
pretty
now
good.
It's when the occasionally Dukes and the cops. It's
the Chargers look good.
Car.
That's a great looking sedan. I think
the fact that the Confederate flag was on the Dukes of Hazzard car,
there is
and
that.
The, yeah, there's
I
a little
know,
crossover
that.
There, isn't it?
They haven't aged very well, but
those haven't aged very well. No, and some and a lot of fans of both the show and the flag are
also
driving
have
police cars.
I mean, I watched the show all the time as a kid because I was just like, this is rad. They're jumping cars all
yeah,
the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, you didn't put it into context.
Yeah, I had no idea what it meant,
yeah,
actually.
No. Now it's like, mm-hmm.
You know that was it. They've not to get into a Dukes of Hazzard thing, but they screwed us on that one because Bo and Luke were good guys. They were the good people who helped the orphanage, who helped the black guy, who
true.
Helped everybody. It was the crooked town and the crooked system that they were always fighting.
That's a good point.
The rich town was always trying to take their farm. All
that's
they wanted to do
thing,
was
right?
I'm not
yeah.
sure
do
they
no
knew.
Harm.
Yeah, I'm not sure they knew what the Confederate
that's
flag
my
meant.
That's exactly my point.
They just bought a Charger and they're like, livery. All right.
They you know on like Apple Music, if you're on like like iTunes or whatever and you put on if you've ever done this, I'd use it on the treadmill sometimes. So I put on Apple Music Radio, mm-hmm, and it comes up and it shows you the lyrics, the song. The lyrics scroll along with the song. Well, Sweet Home Alabama came up.
Ooh, that's a rough one.
And I knew that song was pretty racist, kind of racist to pretty racist, and I definitely knew Lynyrd Skynyrd was racist. But when you actually read the lyrics along to the song...
Why do they like Alabama so much?
Holy shit, that song is crazy racist. Like, I can't believe they play that on the radio still. It's so racist.
Wait, which song?
Sweet Home Alabama.
Oh.
It's so racist.
Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Like, here down Alabama, we love the governor. What governor were they talking about? George fucking Wallace. Like, the most racist
Boss
governor
Hogg.
Of
yeah.
all time.
Yeah.
Like, there's a whole bunch of shit up. Like, it's really. I was like, wow, this is way more racist than I remember it being.
So that's why I think the Dukes get, you know, the good old boys, like good old boys, like it's there's a whole thing. I think there were good old boys back then.
Yeah.
Maybe there still are. I don't know.
Yeah. There's, yeah. It's, there's a
conservative.
Whoever
liberal.
Wrote this, this looks like it was written on GeoCities in 1997. Dude. And there's words that are in quotations where I can almost. I could almost tell how racist the person is that wrote this.
No, they're actually saying that the lyrics are not racist. They're saying after singing the line about the governor,
yes.
Skynyrd says boo, 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 as if to disapprove of Wallace and his policies of racism.
That is definitely not correct. I think that's defensive.
Mm.
I think the boo hoo hoo is against the other people. It also says, he also says Watergate doesn't bother us. Presumably because they are pursuing the Southern strategy.
Pro-Nixon on that
yeah,
one. Yeah,
super pro-Nixon on that. And I think here in Alabama, they are in Birmingham, which was where fucking some real racial issues was going on. They love the governor. That's a George Wallace thing. Yeah. I think
yes. I think yes.
Also, I think isn't that just sort of like always kind of known? Like it was just sort of the way back then. Like they're from a different time. Sort of.
I guess, yeah. But I had never read the lyrics along to the song, and so it was. It's one of those things. Like people don't. No one thinks about the fucking lyrics. They play songs at political rallies all the time, having no idea that the lyrics are like.
Inflammatory?
Or counter to the message of the political person. It's like as long as someone sings the chorus, you know, whatever. So,
gosh.
Yeah. The Confederate flag in the background of that music video really defended that as not being a racist song, by the way. Just having a full Confederate flag background on that, I think, is really shooting holes in
I don't know if this is their official music video, but.
No, but it was, wasn't it? It's on the album cover.
Is it?
I believe it is on at least one of their album covers.
So yeah. I think so too.
I'm pretty sure they hung it as a backdrop on the stage.
That's for sure. It was. You're exactly right on that.
Yeah. And it's Skinnerd, not Skinner. Well, there's a Confederate flag on their Greatest Hits album. The Greatest Hits album is a
fuck. That's the picture I was thinking.
Yeah.
No, that one too. Yeah.
It's one thing if it was on the original recording and then you maybe did something a little different for the Greatest Hits. But if upon reflection of your Greatest Hits, you feel the best image to represent that is
decided.
The Confederate flag.
No, this fits.
Settles that fucking debate, doesn't it?
Oh, God, that's funny.
The image of our Greatest Hits is a loss.
Right. Don't see Bill and Ted's, the new one.
Oh, really?
It sucked. So
disappointing. Did you see the one in the middle? Wasn't there a...
Bogus Journey?
Yeah.
Bogus Journey's fabulous.
Bogus
Journey is one of the all-time greatest sequels.
Have you watched it as an adult?
Yeah.
Greatest Journey.
Bogus Journey?
Bogus Journey.
I mean, not in the last five years, but I have watched it. Yeah.
Does it not hold up for the Clapman crew?
No,
it's a great
I haven't
sequel.
Watched it. I'm wondering if there are things we watch when we're 12 that we still like as adults because we remember when we were 12, and then it's like if you make the new version,
I've
do you
got
not
a big
like
old
it?
Box of
yeah,
those.
No, I've got right. a bunch of them. I got a bunch of them. And I also have things that got better as an adult as I understood more jokes.
True.
I have
like
a bigger,
Beetlejuice.
Bigger box of those.
Like Beetlejuice and Men in Tights and all kind of interesting
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah,
like
you get
that.
All the adult jokes, too.
Yeah.
Dude,
yeah,
what
yeah.
didn't you get from Beetlejuice that you do now just out of curiosity?
Some of the sexual jokes I didn't really there was some like
I may still not get them.
There were some pretty gross sexual jokes,
really?
I think, in there that Michael Keaton does that I didn't really understand
at
the time.
Yeah. He's always hitting on the wife and stuff.
Yeah. And the one from Men in Tights that I didn't know, and it is kind of funny, but it's bad. You shouldn't, it's not, it's offensive, but when Friar Tuckman, played by Mel Brooks, comes up upon the gang of merry men, he says that they're merry, and he says, Fagalus?
Right.
I thought he said fatalists originally because I didn't know what the Yiddish word was.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to repeat the American word. You could probably figure
right.
out
no,
what it is.
No, just Mary.
You've seen the movie.
Just we're straight.
Just Mary.
Yeah. And that I understood later as an adult. So, I mean.
Most of Mel Brooks' humor I probably got more as an adult.
I understood every line of Spaceballs at 10 years old.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
But History of the World, definitely you
I'll
understand
you
better
that.
As an adult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a lot more historical references.
Yeah,
than
and Blazing Saddles definitely is like, woof, that's not aged well, but I could see how at the time that could be.
They said when they wrote that, Mel Brooks wrote all the lines for the sheriff, who's black,
and Richard Pryor
wrote onto the white people. So they were working together, like, let's do commentary on all of this terrible stuff.
I think it's probably fine as a piece, but like there's some cringe in there.
I think if you don't know that, you're looking at it like this is heavy blaxploitation. It's like, well, they were commenting on those cliches and things and then making fun of it, but without knowing the context. It definitely could
it
look
can
really
be a
bad.
Little,
and even that, even so, when it was written in the 70s, so I'm sure there's plenty of language that's like,
right.
Holy shit, this isn't a comedy movie.
Right.
I can't imagine seeing that movie without Cleavon Little. I just can't imagine the movie without Cleavon Little, but I would have loved to have seen Richard Pryor in that role.
I think it would have been amazing.
He was...
I wish the quality of recordings of Richard Pryor's comedy was better. I love his comedy, but I have a real hard time watching his specials because the sound quality is not that good, and he can be a little fucking mumbly sometimes. Mm-hmm. And
he's high a lot of the time, right?
So it's like I almost want to like put on like studio quality headphones to try and get every little thing out
nuance
of it. When I watch
it
on the TV, I'm like, God, I feel like I'm missing something here.
Oh, that's one of the albums that it seems like they recorded the sound coming out of a speaker. You know, it's like you feel like you're an audience member.
It's one of his famous ones, right?
Yeah.
It's
like
one of his biggest
wearing
ones.
Like the red suit.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, there's let's see. I spent the last. I've got this Royal Enfield motorcycle. We could talk about that.
That's
a motorcycle made in India, which is interesting. I got a picture on the gram, Zach. If you go to the Grizzam and scroll back just a couple of days, you'll see it. It's called a Continental GT 650, and it's right there on the right. Sort of a cafe racer style. It's familiar to anyone who's seen a Triumph Bonneville. You could pretty much call it a poor man's Bonneville. Mm-hmm. What is a Bonneville? Can you look up the MSRP of a Bonneville? Because I actually don't know what it is. The MSRP and the horsepower, because this thing, the Royal Enfield, is $6,000, which for a brand new motorcycle is very cheap. Okay,
yeah,
so Bonneville start at 10, so it's 60% cheaper. And then horsepower, do we have horsepower?
And weight is where I'm curious.
Weight is, I don't know, because the Royal Enfield's 450 pounds, I think.
Wait, really? That's not heavy? That's not as heavy as I thought it would be.
It feels kind of heavy.
Okay, 450 wet is not that heavy at all.
So the Bonneville T100 has 55 horsepower. The Royal Enfield has 45 horsepower. Weight, 470 pounds for the Bonneville. Okay, so the Royal Enfield and Bonneville weigh about the same.
That's really not bad.
So, yeah, but the Royal Enfield's a 650 twin, but it has dual exhausts. It sounds pretty cool. It sounds like a vintage. It's like one of like the Morgan. Remember the Morgan?
Yeah.
How the Morgan was like a new car that sounded like an old car?
Yeah, that's amazing.
That's like this bike. It
Got
sounds
it.
Like a vintage bike, especially like off throttle. It's pretty cool. So like it's not fast or anything.
Does it have like that
yeah,
kind of thing?
It's a really nice thrum to it. It's not fast, but it's like it's very fun to like rev out, you know? And it handles and stops and maneuvers acceptably. I mean, it's not like a super sport bike. That right there, that image, if you want to pull that up on the show, Zach, the only real in-your-face piece of cost-cutting is that casting on top of the fork, which looks very cheap.
It sucks that you have to stare at it.
You got to stare, and you got to stare at it a lot.
That
and like the blinker switches are clearly like much cheaper than on a much more expensive bike.
Yeah,
but like it's not that bad when you're actually riding it. Like you don't really
right.
notice. Like the thing is, like $6,000, you're new. You're really competing against $10,000 used bikes. You know what I, like you know what I mean? A bike that was 10 and is now 6 used.
Is there anything else for $6,000 that's even remotely comparable?
That new?
This seems like a steal and a half.
No.
To me.
I mean my trainer Nick, who I sold my scooter to, he just bought a Ninja 400,
okay.
a 2018 Ninja 400, which is kind of comparable in terms of price, I think. He paid like $4,000 for this, but I think it's around the same new.
Okay.
And, you know, it's like a sport, it's a smaller sport bike that I don't know if it's a single or a twin, but it goes like 105 miles an hour and it's very, very light.
That's a lot of fun for very little money.
Yeah. I'm not sure how much can you get the MSRP of that? I don't know how much it is. How much is it? $5,000.
Wow.
So it's cheaper. And it's 366 pounds, but I think it's got less horsepower. It's probably got like 35 horsepower, not 45.
Kind of
but
this is like the Ninja, back in the 90s, like the entry-level bike was like the Ninja 250.
Yeah.
And it was a really weak, I think, two-stroke or maybe like tiny four-stroke. It was like, and it was just a starter bike.
This sounds more like a, it almost sounds like a big single.
Oh,
more so than it sounds like anything else. And the one he bought had like an exhaust on it and a liquid-cooled four-stroke. Is that still? I can't tell. Sorry. Engine, liquid-cooled. Oh, parallel twin. 8-valve dual overhead cam parallel twin. Okay. And it makes 44 horsepower at 10,000 RPM. And so basically, it makes pretty similar power to that Royal Enfield, but it makes it way up higher.
Yeah.
So you get the torque. You get more torque in the Royal Enfield.
Which
so
is what you want from that kind of cruising, upright
yeah.
bike.
Yeah.
It's not like a great highway bike. There's no windshield or anything.
No, but it's better at 70. It's like more stable at 70 than that Ducati Scrambler was.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's not as tall. It's not as like raked back.
Right.
It's fine
if
you want
longer too, maybe.
Yeah, it's fine if you wanted to keep it you know, down under 75. Ride it around town, like that kind of thing. It's actually pretty nice. It looks good.
Good looking.
Yeah, and it is fun.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing is, the gearbox I've had a little trouble with. And this is a pretty new bike. The bike's got like 200 miles on it. And so it popped out of gear. I popped out of sixth on the highway once on throttle.
Under acceleration?
Yeah, and I had to kick it back into gear, which, you know, it didn't stop me from riding, but it was a bit of a panic moment on the 405 freeway.
If you know what you're doing, that's no big deal. But if you don't, that could wipe you out.
I mean, it's not supposed to do that.
It's not supposed to do that.
I mean,
the
bike then becomes unpredictable. You think you're going, and then you're not. I mean, that's
yeah. It happens at the very wrong, worst time. Yeah. You know, that could be bad. And I've had a couple issues where kicking it into first at lights. Sometimes I got to kick it a couple times.
Maybe it's an adjustment type of thing too.
It might be. It could be. It could. You know, and I don't want to say like it's broken or it's a piece of junk or anything like that. Like, it just, stuff like that is something I haven't experienced in other bikes. And so it could be that they are using a lower quality transmission part. I don't know. The engine is lovely.
Yeah.
I've had no trouble with the engine.
Cold start sounded good the other night.
It does. It's a cool bike. Cold start's cool. It's cool. Like, it's actually, if you, even though it's on the cheaper end, you know, if you buy it, and you see other motorcycle people, they go, "Oh, that's cool! Like, it's a cool thing."
It looks great. The paint schemes they've chosen are good. I know that when we went
that's
to their website
color,
before,
the black
colors
and gray.
Really rad.
Yeah,
it's a good looking bike. And I guess it's like if you want a new bike that looks old,
yeah,
and rides kind of medium.
That's fair.
Medium being like parts of it ride new, but parts of it might feel like an older bike.
It's a good commuter bike, cruise around a city bike. You know, even if you want to take it out on the weekends and not go a zillion miles an hour, just, you know, go for a nice cruise. It's great. I think they've done a pretty cool job. What are their other models, Zach? Pull this over so everybody can see it.
I didn't want them to watch the loading
screen.
Oh,
yeah, okay. so they've actually got some interesting one. I've got the Continental GT, which is the top center there. The Classic looks really old school.
Yeah, that looks like
something. The whole bottom, that Bullet Trials thing looks crazy. Oh, these look really old school.
Yeah, they do. Wow,
so the Bullet 500 really looks like it's out of the 60s or something
like
that.
I'm going to assume that this price point is a little higher, right?
For this I don't know. Bullet? I have absolutely
really?
No idea.
It looks like it's got more going on there.
I mean, it might, but
this looks like it's straight out of like World War II.
Yeah.
Or just after.
Very old school.
With a kind of British racing
green
colors.
Intentionally doing the Great Escape stuff here, right?
Very much so.
Yeah. Does it say how much the price is?
No? Just connect to a dealer.
Connect to a dealer.
That's right.
That's cool, though.
Want to get you in the door.
I'd like them to give me some of their other stuff. I'd like to try it. I'm down. And they make this engine. I mean, the engine that's in that is not, they didn't source that from
somewhere.
Oh, really? They make that engine. So that's pretty cool.
The trials,
and it'll probably get better over time too.
Indian motorcycles.
Well, this Trials Bullet they built in 1948. So
it's like the Morgan Plus Four of motorcycles.
Yeah, they just kind of making it in that style. I mean, that's why their bikes look like they're from
first
the 40s,
production motorcycle that features swing arm suspension.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Look at this guy's serious face.
Imagine riding something like that on trials. That'd be crazy.
Yeah, trials riding in general is insane. Something old. Oof. Like, if I was going to do that, I want the most modern stuff I can have.
It's a really neat bike, though.
It's cool.
Yeah.
Bikes are fun.
I want to go do all that stuff, though.
I don't know. You're leaving on Monday, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if we have time to make a video with it.
I leave Monday. I wish. Come back Thursday.
That sucks. I'd like to make a video with it, but if I need a helper for that. Want to go to the canyons, Jay?
What day?
I don't know. Next
sure.
week.
Yeah.
Next week.
You know
all I need
in.
Is someone
you know
to drive a, I need someone to drive a chase vehicle.
Sure.
Otherwise I don't have the footage.
Right.
Or the footage vehicle. I need. It's in order to
the
in
rolling
to,
footage is better for bikes than a drive by for
it's
sure.
It's definitely especially because I have to edit.
Right.
Yeah, I can't do it in one take on a bike, unfortunately.
Mm-mm.
Not that good.
Don't get that good. That's ridiculous.
There's some
you
there's probably some
ends.
People. Yeah, right. For sure. What do we got going on for the... we're going to end this one a little early today because I actually have to go back downstairs and park more cars.
Can't believe we got you this
But
long.
We got another show tomorrow, which won't be for tomorrow. But Yuri and Jacob of the Straight Pipes are calling in on the Zoom machine.
Sweet.
And they're going to call in from the same place. So it'll actually just be one call.
And oh,
it won't
okay.
be. Because it wasn't great last time with Mr. Regular, it wasn't their fault, but having two separate Zoom call-ins for a show
right.
versus having the two hosts be on one computer.
Yeah, that's way better.
Way better.
Way better,
way better.
For every,
so
every
we're going to do that, and we're still working on our getting our technical stuff aces, but it's getting better every day. And so sorry again to that dude in blue, to Dave Patterson. We love him, and he'll be back.
Guy.
Yeah, and he'll be back soon. And I'm glad it happened with a content creator, because they understand technical failures. Like,
right.
He's had times where his he's lost video. You know, everyone who makes content.
Apparently enough times that he thought he might be able to fix it. It's like, bro, I've been there.
True.
Yeah.
True. But that's it. That's our show for tonight, and we'll see you guys later. Thank you all for being a part of this. The Smoking Tire Podcast is powered by Shout Engine. Get your own damn podcast at shoutengine.com. It's easy. All you need is a microphone, connection to the internet, and ideally something to say. Bye.